This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, first it was Greece and Ireland and then the US debt crisis. Then we've had big falls in the stock exchange. Now right in London, it all adds up to financial uncertainty. But how concerned should Aussies be about all these events and their combined impact? Scott Pape, a.k.a. the Barefoot Investor, is on the line to help us decipher it all. Hi, Scott.
Good morning.
Can you just give us a quick rundown of what happened on the Australian Stock Exchange yesterday? Because it seemed to be up and then down and then I don't know what happened after that.
The market was heading for another fall, just in due in part because of what happened in America the night before. And then we had a miraculous jump where we ended up about 0.5% higher. And one of the reasons for that is what's actually transpired in America overnight. Mm. And that is the Federal Reserve Chairman, Ben Bernanke, has said that he will keep interest rates at basically zero for another 2 years, which buoyed the share market and had that up and out nearly 4% as well. So very wild swings on the share market over the last 2 days.
Okay. Can we just have a little discussion about the US debt crisis? Why is US debt so out of control? And is this raising the debt ceiling really going to solve the problem?
Okay, the best way for non-financial people to understand the raising of the debt ceiling, mm-hmm. and the problems the US are in, it's a little bit like your mate who perhaps has too many credit cards, he's borrowed for his car, he's underwater on his mortgage. What happens to that person is two things can happen to them. They can either go broke, which is what the US were looking at before August 2nd, before they raised the debt ceiling, mm-hmm. or alternatively, they can pull their head in. They pull that in, they slow down their spending, they maybe get another job in order to get rid of those debts. Now, that is the case that's happening with the US right now, except they've raised their credit card limit, but they haven't done anything to actually curtail those debts. So there's no real plan to actually slow down the spending. There's a little bit on the sides, and that's why you're seeing the S&P, the Standard & Poor's ratings agency, saying, actually, we don't think you guys are that credit worthy, and that's what triggered a major downfall on the share market.
Do you think they should be, you know, cutting spending and raising taxes, or would that just slow down their economy and make things worse?
It's a really hard one to answer, but I guess if we boil it back down to common sense, and common sense to me is kind of wisdom, and that is that when you're in a financial hole, what I would say to somebody, my advice to them, would be firstly, stop digging. So stop spending as much money as you have. And then what you're going to have to do is get another job to actually start paying down those debts meaningfully. And that, in a government sense, is actually raising taxes.
Yeah, bringing in income.
The hard thing about it is that, you know, there's a political deadlock. When Standard & Poor's, one of the big ratings agencies that looks at all, rates all the debts, what they said was that it may not be the government debts that's the problem. It's actually the politicians and the fact that they can't get any consensus on any of this.
Yes, and I can't help wondering too whether their political system kind of feeds the whole thing, because they're so dependent on those big donations from big business to get into the presidential race that you sort of can't see them going, oh, we'll tax the rich a little bit more.
I did notice on one of the cable news channels last night that they're suggesting that Obama will have a billion. He'll be the billion-dollar Obama, and he'll get $1 billion worth of campaign funds. So it is huge money there that's flowing around the systems. But it's unfortunately mum and dad investors and all of us who get caught in the crossfire of all that stuff. I guess nice thing that came out of yesterday, if it could be known as nice, is that we may see some interest rate cuts. We saw the CBA and a couple of the other big banks cut their fixed rates by about 0.6% for their 5-year fixed rates. So what that tells me is a couple of things. One is that they think interest rates are on their way down, but secondly, that they're trying to promote their fixed rate loans.
Okay. Now, do you think that, I guess I just want to talk a bit about the impact on Aussies. Do you think Australians are going to become quite cautious now about spending money, or do you think that things will bounce back here?
Look, I think we already have. I mean, from 2003, sort of, well, the early parts of 2000, we spent more money than we earned. And the reason we did that is because our house prices kept going up. It made us feel rich. So therefore, what we did is we continued spending. Now what we're seeing is what Glenn Stevens, the Reserve Bank chairman, calls the rise of the cautious consumer. And a couple of weeks ago, all the financial experts were saying these people are silly, these cautious consumers. You're saving about $10 or $12 out of every 100 that hits your hand. Why are they doing that? Unemployment's low, they'll go back to spending. Well, maybe the cautious consumer knew a little bit more than all the economic boffins with what we've seen over the last week or so. But yes, we are being more cautious. We're saving more money. And I think, personally, that's a good thing, because even though we've just been talking about today that the US, the Europe, the UK have all got large government debts, we don't have that here. And that's principally because we've had a big mining boom. But it's the public, it's the households that actually have all the debt, and we owe it to the banks. And that puts us in a pretty precarious position.
Yeah, if we lose a job or something, we're stuffed. So, and just finally, I wanted to ask you about Australia's economic future, because we're always linking our future to China and sort of assuming that, you know, we're bulletproof. But is China dependent on the US, you know, to buy their exports? Is China going to be fine through all this, or is there a bit of a risk there for them as well?
Can I just say, this is one of the smartest radio interviews I've had in a long time. I've given plenty of interviews about this, but I haven't had one announcer that's actually made that connection. It is completely true. China is really the factory for the world. It produces all the goods, well, not all the goods, but a bulk of the goods. And what it looks out, it says that its major customers, being the US, the UK and Europe, are all slowing their spending. That's going to affect China, and therefore it's going to have a follow-on effect to us, because it's our resources, obviously, that stack that Chinese factory. Mm. That's in the short term. Over the longer term, my view is the story of a billion Chinese, a billion Indians moving from poverty to middle class is absolutely the investment story of our lifetime. I mean, you've only got to look and see that the average middle class in China is about 300 million. That's the entire population of the US. So I think we're in a very fortunate position, but we are going to see more of these crises, because we're seeing really a shift of economic power from the West to the East.
And fortunately, we're quite well positioned while that's happening. So
we are, but you know, the only asterisk I would have as the personal finance guy is that you know, I wouldn't be putting too much faith in any politician or in any financial market. My view would be that we've got some of the most heavily indebted households in the world, and the idea of just having a couple of months' savings just stashed away, whether you're a pre-retiree, as we've seen when the market goes down, or if you're a young family, it's always really good advice. That's one financial decision you'll never regret.
Okay, well, thanks for your time this morning, Scott. It's been great to talk to you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on anytime.
You're very welcome. That's Scott Pape, also known as the Barefoot Investor. His website is barefootinvestor.com.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.